Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you. I'm just so excited about today, Lord. I'm excited about you've kept us here to start a new year, Lord, 2014. We're just at the start of the year. There's a lot of things that we have said we were going to do in 2013, a lot of things we were fitting to do in 2013, and now that's gone. But Lord, you saw fit to give us another start on a new year. And I want to thank you for that. I want to praise you for that, Lord, because there's many who won't see who haven't seen this day, many more who won't even see tomorrow. But you've seen fit to allow us to be here today and serve you. And so, Lord, I just ask that to that end, that today you'll open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to your truth, the truth of the gospel, and let us know what thus saith the Lord, and what you would have us to do. And with all that's within me, and with all that I have, may the name of Jesus be lifted up, that the name of Jesus might be glorified, lives might be changed, and the kingdom might be increased. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Good Shepherd, good to be here. Please turn your Bibles over to the book of Acts. Last time we were together, when I preached, we were in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And now we've jumped over to the book of Acts, chapter 3. And just by way of introduction, I'll just say that, by the way, by correction, I was saying Brother Rayleigh, it's Brother Braley. Brother Rayleigh works at the Arlington Baptist College in the office, and Brother Braley just happens to have name real close. So pardon me for that. That's Brother Braley, not Rayleigh. Okay, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 3. And while you go there, when they finished up the book of Acts, chapter 2, they're talking about how the Christians would they were meeting daily. And sometimes we look and we see where the scripture says that these folks turned the world upside down. They turned the world upside down, just a handful of people preaching, teaching, praising God. And I see that, and I say, well, what's happening in the church today to where we're struggling to influence our own family? I'm not talking extended family. I'm talking our family. And it says that these people would meet together daily. These people would pray for one another. They'd search the scriptures, and they'd study the word of God. And then not only would they meet daily, they'd break bread daily, you know, observing the coming of the Savior. And not only that, they go out telling other people about Jesus. That's what they did. We're witnesses. Jesus said, go out and be a witness. That's what he called us to be. And that's what they did. And the Bible says that the church grew daily. Every time they got together, somebody brought somebody. If that's what they were doing in the beginning, isn't the end always supposed to be better than the beginning? If you could do it that well when you just get started, it's like being married. You know, it just really troubles me sometimes when I see married couples who've been married for 30, 40, 50 years, and I'm like, man, you really don't have that many more years with each other. Sooner or later, you got to start getting long. But when you first get married, you know, you have all this friction. You got this. But at some point, somebody's going to say, I'm tired. I'm tired of that. Let's grow up. I'm tired. In the church. Okay, you come. We come to church. We get saved. We get here. Okay, I'm sitting. I'm reading. I'm listening. I'm keeping that seat warm. Okay. And when I come back next week, Jesus right where I left him on that seat. At some point, we got to move. And so as we go into the new year, let's talk about from today's topic. We're going to talk about the work of the witness and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about today. The work of the witness and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when you're called to be a witness, there's work to be done. Let's read. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed hailed Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Let's talk about the work of the witness and the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to have those two things together, y'all. Because Jesus said, he said, "Go sit and wait for power." He said, because if you go out there without the power of the Holy Spirit, if you try to do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit, if you try to stay married without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's like an unarmed man at high noon. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But I want you to take note of what's going on here. When you read this passage and it talks about Peter and John going up to the temple, let's not take scripture and just because it's written nicely in chapters and verses, you got to keep some of these dots connected. You got to put some of these things together, okay? I want you to think about this is what we're getting ready to talk about, the power, this witness power with the Holy Spirit. Y'all stop and think. This is just a little bit after the day of Pentecost. So this is not too far down the road since Jesus has been crucified, resurrected, and ascended into heaven. This has not been too far down the road since when a woman said to Peter, "I know you. I recognize you. You're one of those guys hanging out with Jesus." This is just a little bit down the road when Peter stood and publicly, three times, said, "I don't know this man. I don't know this man. Don't be trying to hang nothing on me." And see, we talk bad about Peter, but if you're following somebody and he goes and gets himself killed, you're going to be saying, "I don't know him." But, I want you to take a look at the difference after that power came on him. After when he knew that the man that he saw get crucified, after he knew that he saw him up walking outside the grave, where is he going? Where's him and John going? They're going to the temple at the hour of prayer. Who's at the temple? The people who killed Christ.
See, I want you, see, we kind of take these things and we don't put them together. Just a few weeks ago, he's running and hiding. Now he's going to the fray. He's going to the fight. It's like,
when my son was trying to figure out careers, he was kind of like you, Brother Braley. He went to college to play football. That was it. But before me and him sat down, I said, son, what would you like to do? And we're going through these different lists of things. You know, what about this? What about football, coaching, whatever. And I said, son, why don't you become a fireman? I have friends who are firemen, and they got really good jobs. It's, 24 on, 48 off. They all have their little side businesses. They're all doing really good. Hey, son, why don't you think about being a fireman? Dad. When the house is on fire, you're supposed to leave, not go in. He said, firemen go in to burning buildings. Not going to do that. But guess what God has called us to do as witnesses? He's sending us into the burning fire. He's sending us right back into that situation and circumstance where he pulled us out of. Oftentimes, still hanging around some of the same old folk. And you can expect some heat when you go into a fire. But if you got that power, if you got that Holy Ghost power, you can do like Peter and John. The Bible says they went to the temple. They didn't sit back and see who they could. No, they went to the temple. And they didn't go up there to give a sacrifice. I believe they went up there to do just like the Apostle Paul said when he started, when he would do his ministry, Paul said, the first place he'd go is to the synagogue. Where's the place? And he'd preach Christ and him crucified. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What would happen to this church? What would happen to this community if the people, just the people, skip anybody else, just the people in Good Shepherd, if we would just let that Holy Ghost power just rule our lives in such a way where we're fearless, fearless for Christ. I mean, just flat out fearless for Christ, because we know if he put me there, he'll take care of me. Wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, he'll take care of it. He got me this far. He didn't bring me this far to let me down. He'll take care of it. A couple things I want you to take note. When, first part we're going to talk about here in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. You got to be willing to go. When God gives you a mission, you got to be willing to go. It does no good if you have a witness who got cold feet. Well, I'm fitting the Lord. I'm thinking about it, Lord. While people are being lost every day, and we're thinking about it, and we're fitting it, and you know, and I start to tell him, I start to tell her. But sometimes you and I, both, we know for a fact, sometimes we know for a fact that God said, go talk to that person. You know it. You know it with every fiber of your heart. And you say, but Lord, let's see. Let me give you a good biblical character. You get like Moses. But Lord, I stutter. My tongue don't work too good. Now God's calling Moses to go talk to the Pharaoh, and all of a sudden Moses said, I can't talk. But I thought I read in the scripture where it said that Moses was mighty in word and deed. Isn't that what it said? But here's a man, when God calls him to go serve, all of a sudden he gets, I stammer, I can't do it. And God said, who made your tongue? I'm saying to Good Shepherd, Pastor, that's out of my comfort zone. I'm much better at cooking food. Okay, cook and witness. Well, Pastor, I'm much better in the background. I do things good in the background. I like serving on committees. Serve on the committee?
and witness. It's not an either or. The witnessing part is a command. The other part is a voluntary thing. We have to be willing to go wherever it is that God leads us. It says, now Peter and John went up together and into the temple at the hour of prayer. They went at the hour of prayer because that's when the most people would be there in the service, praying, out in the outer court, right where they could start telling them about Jesus. They went to the fire. And then the Bible says, a certain man, lame. Whenever the Bible gives you something like that, it's kind of to let you know that this is a wide application of who this could be. But he didn't even give you the guy's name because you could apply this to so many situations and so many of our lives. He said, just a regular, certain guy. At the same time that God was bringing John and Peter to the temple, this lame man's friends were bringing him to the temple, but not in the temple. Set him outside the temple. Bible says he had been lame for about 40 plus years. And he had been lame from his mother's womb. That's important that you know. He was lame from his mother's womb. So you can't have one of those TV healings. Because we're going to see a great healing. You're not going to have one of those TV healings where somebody kicked the crutch out. Yeah, who? Yeah, thank you. And then you see him down the street. Where's my check? You know. So, no, we're going to have a, and God does heal people, y'all. God heals people. He'll take them up off their deathbed. But we got this man right here. He says, a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb, and his friends would take him down to the side of the temple and set him outside because there was no government agencies that would give you a check and do this and do that. What it was you were at the will of the people. This is part of the Jewish community. And so the people would give you alms. You would come down to beg for alms. And where better to go than to go to the temple to get money from the people who are going to worship. Now, see, that's where they took him. But in 2014, they'd probably take him down to the intersection of Abram and 360 and give him a sign, okay? But this man wasn't looking for God. This man wasn't looking for Jesus. This man was just looking to get himself a couple bucks. Saints of God, there's nothing wrong with people looking to get a couple bucks. But what needs to be done is when we see them and we engage them, we should be looking to get them saved. See, he's coming for one thing. God had you meet him for another thing. And if we fail to do that other thing, then we fail to do what we were called to do in the first place. God puts people in your path every day that you can witness to. Every day. That's why I ask, not did God give you somebody to witness to? I ask, did you take advantage of the opportunity that God gave you today? You have to be willing to go to where the people are to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next thing I want you to take note of is when you get there, expect God to do great things. Let's see what he says here, verse 4. Verse 3 says that the man looked at Peter, and he saw Peter, and he saw Peter as an easy mark. See, here you got, he kind of looks like a preacher. I'm sure he'll give me some money. In fact, I think I got two preachers. I know they'll give me some money. But then it says in verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He's looking at them as an easy mark. They're looking at him as somebody who needs the Lord. When you see folks in disarray, you see their households upside down. Sometimes, oftentimes, money is not the solution.
We would like to think that if you throw enough money at any situation, that'll fix it. No, it doesn't work, y'all. If you don't have Jesus guiding your life, you can have all the money in the world, and you can't have peace. This man, he was looking at them, and he was expecting them to do something big for them. But Peter and John were looking at him, looking at the beggar, expecting God to do something big with him and through them. It doesn't tell us what all was going on in Peter and John's brain. We don't know that. We're not privy to that. But we know that the power, now they got the power of the Holy Spirit in them. Now this man is no longer scared. He's no longer on the run from Jesus. He's on the run for Jesus. Peter says in verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such have I, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter says, I don't have any silver and gold. But I want you to understand, church, Peter does not say, I don't have what I need. Jesus said, I'll give you everything that you need, which might not include silver and gold for some of us. But he says, I'll give you everything that you need. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I'll give you. Maybe, just maybe, maybe the reason that we don't see some of the things that take place in some of these developing countries when people see these people getting healed, people getting their sight back, and people walking who never walked, Maybe we're so focused on our silver and gold that we no longer have the power to say, rise up and walk. We no longer have the confidence in God to say, rise up and walk. Maybe we want to caution every statement with, I'm not sure. But look what Peter did, y'all. Peter said, I don't have any money. Silver and gold have I not. But it says, he told the man, in the name of Jesus. When you got a situation in your life, in your house, instead of going down to the self-help book, why don't you start with, in the name of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Not just any old Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus. If you can't get along with me for my sake, will you get along with me for the name of Jesus? If you can't love him because he's unlovable, can you stay with him because of the name of Jesus? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Because in the name of Jesus, your parents may not be what they're supposed to be, but you can obey. Anybody can act right. Ask the Lord to help you. I've been young. I had parents who, but when I was real young, they didn't know too much. It wasn't until I got older when I found out they knew a whole lot. When I was a kid, oh, my mother, oh, my father, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then after I got some years on me and found out, you know, this life's not all it's cracked up to be. Mom and daddy had some real wisdom. Children, learn to obey your parents in the Lord. Learn to listen. And in the name of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. When Peter said this to this beggar, three big things changed that one that had never happened before. But I want you to take note in this passage up to verse 11. Three things changed when they called on the name of Jesus.
The first thing that happened was, hitherto in scriptures, until the Holy Spirit came upon them, the apostles never did anything in Jesus' name. Not until the Holy Spirit came on them. And when the Holy Spirit came on them, from that day on, Jesus said, whatever you do from here on out, you do it in my name. See, and that's important. That's important because you got a whole lot of people who say, well, I trust God. I believe in God. And God has been good to me. And you can make God whoever you want to make God. But here, you could, the lame man, he may envision whoever, what the God of his own envisioning may have been, I don't know what. But Peter didn't say the God of your own invention. Peter said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up. First big change you see there, from this point on, all through scripture, the apostles are always doing anything that they do in the name of Jesus. When you and I go into any situation, whatever it is, don't go in your own power. Go in the name of Jesus. When you're giving out a bookmark and you're trying to tell somebody about Jesus, you go in, you pray, and you ask for the power in the name of Jesus. Next thing that you see, it says in verse 7, Immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now stop and think, and then it says he jumped up. Now I'm 62 years old, and if I jump up, I'm liable to fall. But this man ain't walked in 40 years. Think about this. Y'all don't see this as great a miracle as it was. Everybody knew this man had never, ever walked. Didn't everybody in here have to learn how to walk? And how's this 40-plus-year-old man jump up and walk? He takes off running. Because in the name of Jesus, he got that power. He got that Holy Ghost power from the name of Jesus. And it says that he jumped up and immediately, not on down the road, not after you send in enough money to the P.O. box, it's immediately, he got up. What a change. And since he was lame from his mother's womb, everybody knew he wasn't faking. Now, you see the apostles are saying in the name of Jesus. Next change you see is this man whose body is immediately changed. And then you see another change where it says, and the people, all the people who saw him, verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed, hail Peter and John, all the people. Don't forget, they're at the ninth hour. They're about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're there where everybody's coming to pray, where they got the biggest audience, and people see a changed life. Saints, I can't tell you how powerful it is when people can look at you, because they're looking at you. They're looking at me. When they can look at you and they say, I know what he used to be. But there's something come over this man. There's something come over this woman. There's a change here. There's a visible, immediate change. Stop saying I'm waiting on my change. Change! Illustration for you. There's a man named William Perkins. William Perkins was an old-time Puritan theologian. In fact, Perkins School of Theology over at Southern Methodist University is named for William Perkins. He was a great Puritan theologian. But William Perkins wasn't always a great Puritan theologian. At one time, William Perkins was the town drunk. And we're talking like in the late 1500s. He's the town drunk. And as the story goes, what changed William Perkins' life is that one day he was out having a nice little binge and doing what he was normally doing. And he overheard this mother. And this mother said to her child, if you don't shut up, I'm going to turn you over to old drunk Perkins over there. How would you like to know that your name is the name of an outscouring, a byword? Your name. Your name. People tell people about, people tell their children about you, so they'll tell their children how not to be. Perkins said that changed his life. He had been raised up in a Christian home. But for the first time, instead of just going to church, he had the church in him. Things change when you commit your life to Christ. There's got to be a change. When I plant an apple tree, I expect it to grow apples. And if it doesn't, I'm going to tell you what the scripture says. If it doesn't produce fruit, Jesus says, you go over there and you put a little fertilizer around it, kind of dung it a little bit and just, you know, work on it a little bit. He said, but if that rascal don't bear fruit soon, so you go cut it down. Use it for firewood. Why not? Might as well get some use out of it. What good is an apple tree that doesn't give you apples? Firewood. What good is a saint to the kingdom of God who will not witness? God has equipped us. He's given us that Holy Ghost. He's saying, go where I send you. Yield your members to me. And it may be hard. I know it's hard to get started. But I'm telling you, once you get started, man, the only regret I have about how long it took me to get in really involved in the church is that I look at the years I've squandered. I was saved. And I look at the years I squandered being useless. God should have just cut me down and took me home. I was useless. I don't want y'all to have that in your life. I don't want you to have that regret. I want you to look forward to going to the throne of grace and hearing God look down at you and say, well done. Well done. Don't you want that? Isn't there something inside of you that just wants you to have God just smile on you? And he said, it's not that hard to do. You know how you get God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Just obey me. Just obey me. I'll give you the instructions. Just follow the instructions. And I'll bless you. And every time you obey me, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. That's his promise, y'all. So you see these changes. You see a change in the message, which is now they preach in Jesus' name. You see them change in the man. The Bible says that his ankle bones came all together, all that atrophied muscle and atrophied sinew, everything just came together immediately, and he got up. And here's another, I got to give you one more thing. He had spent 40 years where? Outside the temple. He got up. And he said, I'm going in to God's house. I'm going in. I'm not going to sit out on the sidelines anymore. I've been sitting out here watching people go in, get blessed, come out. People go in, come out, get blessed. I'm going in because whatever these boys just gave me, I know there's some more of it in there. And I'm going in. We keep trying to find reasons not to go to church. No, you go in. We keep trying to find reasons not to talk to people in the church. No, you talk to them. You go in to God's house. You fellowship with one another. Well, what about the people I don't like? Talk with them long enough, you'll like them. We fellowship. We get angry. But we work it out. Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. There's got to be a change. Before, if you know me and I didn't like you, out of here. Did well before I met you. Gonna do fine without you. Out of here. But now. Now we got to slave with one another. Now we got. Oh man, yo, man, that guy just gets on my nerves. Man, that one. Okay, Lord. And then he brings that word back to you. Oh, like you don't get on my nerves. Okay, Lord. Okay, we're gonna go. We're gonna go into the house. And when we come to the house, we ain't coming to church to see if somebody in here can do showtime for the sheep. We ain't coming in here for that. We're coming in here. We're coming into his courts with praise. and thanksgiving. We come into his courts with singing. And if you do that, if you purpose in your heart to do that, the day just gets better and better. It just goes up. It just goes up. If you're heavy laden, I just want you to stop at that door right there when you're coming in. And sometimes, you know, saints, there's things that hurt in this world. There's trouble. But when you get to that door, just walk in and start saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you'll do that, I guarantee you by the time you get to the office, you'll be saying, good morning to somebody. And you'll mean it. Good morning to somebody. Good to see you. And you'll mean it. There's a change in the people, change in the message. The people saw something. And that's why God works in our lives as saints. He works in our lives so that we can be a billboard. Our life is a billboard. It's a billboard for Jesus Christ. And now it's even like the modern day billboard. You know, the old ones, they had to stay up there for a couple months, you know, and then a couple guys had to go out and put some new paper up there, you know. No, now we're high-tech billboards. We're those billboards that you're watching it, and then you turn, make sure you don't hit a car, and you look over, and there's a whole new picture on the thing. So, whoa, how'd that get there? Well, because the people who do advertising for the world, they never get satisfied with just, oh, we did good yesterday. It's only folks in the church who say, well, I talked to somebody yesterday. I'm through now. Pastor, I put my one bookmark out on Monday. I'm through for the week. Thank you very much. But the people in the world, boy, they don't get to, no, whatever. I mean, they send me these advertisements about, hey, here, why don't you come on to Google, and we got this thing. We got some trickeration. That's what they got. They got trickeration. Where if people even halfway spell your name, it'll come up 50 times in front of everybody else's name. You give us enough money, we'll do this for you. Amen, okay? The world is never satisfied evangelizing. The world, the devil, he slap his people, get out there. And they go. Jesus said, if you love me, go. Think about it. I don't know. I got clothes to wash today. I wash my hair. Ain't got no hair. Wash my hair. At some point, there's got to be a change in our priorities, saints. There's got to be somewhere down the line where we put Jesus' concerns ahead of ours. And he doesn't do it without telling you, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. I'll bless you. I'll bless you. First, you've got to be willing to go. Expect good things to happen when you get there. Third thing. After God uses you to be able to be a witness, you get to tell somebody about Jesus, and you've actually been obedient. You know, you've been loving your wife like Christ loved the church. You've been submitting to your husband. Kids been just, instead of rolling your eyes, you've been saying, yes, mommy, yes, daddy. I'm going, you do what you got to do. Once you've done all that, now, here's the tricky part. We have to give God the glory. Oh, no. Uh-uh. All that time I spent down at the self-help book doing my yoga and meditating on how not to choke you. And no, you can't. No, I'm getting the credit for this. In fact, I was thinking, what would have happened is after this man got healed, if Peter had hung out his shingle. And the shingle would say, Peter's patented perpetual panacea. Yeah, Peter's patented perpetual panacea. Come look me up, and I'll hook you up. Amen. Peter could have made a fortune. He wouldn't have been talking no more about silver and gold I don't have. He said, I'm rolling, y'all. I didn't hung my shingle out because I took the credit. I gave this man the gospel. I gave him the gospel. I gave him my hand. I helped him up. He got up, and he walked. Surely you don't think that was God. That was me. No, it's not what Peter did. Verse 12 and 13. It says, and when Peter saw the people come, it said, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why are y'all marveling? Now, you remember, he's talking to the Jewish community. And see, and the gospel goes to the Jew first. And he's talking to the Jewish community. And he's saying, all that happened was there was a man who was born lame. We gave him the word of God. And in the name of Jesus, he got up and he walked and he jumped and he danced and he sang and he came into the temple. Why are y'all looking at that as something incredible? Excuse me. He says, ye men, see what he says? He goes, ye men of Israel. Think back. God had opened up the Red Sea for the children of Israel. God had fed them for 40 years in the wilderness. But see, some of that stuff, when God's blessing us, we have a tendency to forget. And we have a tendency to let things just kind of slip back and go back to, well, that wasn't that big a deal. You know, the Red Sea, not that big a deal. 40 years of food from heaven, it was all right. Y'all listen to this. Peter is saying, it's as if he's saying, if anybody should know the power and the promises of God, it should be y'all. If anybody knows what God has done, it should be the Jewish community. There's a contemporary writer named Charles Krauthammer. And Charles Krauthammer, he made a note here. And listen to this. He said, Israel is the very embodiment of the Jewish Jewish continuity. It is the only nation on earth, the only nation on earth that inhabits the same land, bears the same name, speaks the same language, and worship the same God that they did 3,000 years ago. I'm with Peter when I say, Peter, if anybody shouldn't be tripping, it should be the children of Israel. Modern day children of Israel, do you remember how God brought y'all, delivered you from the Assyrians, delivered his people from the Babylonians? 1967, Six-Day War. Israel, surrounded by all the Arab nations. 6 days, they conquered all the Arab nations in 6 days. 1973, the Yom Kippur War. They beat everybody. Here's why I disagree with Krauthammer. Krauthammer says it's a sign of the continuity of Israel. I say it's the power of God. And I say God does these things so that when you and I say, Lord, I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to trust you. He can say, well, you want to know my track record. I want you to go back and look at the Red Sea. I want you to go back and I want you to look at the 40 years in the desert. I take care of my people. I want you to look at how I sent them into Assyria, but I brought them back out. I sent them into Babylon, but I brought them back out. I withstood all the enemies in 1967 that the world could muster against them. I did it. I never thought about this. The Israelites, the Jews, whipped all the Muslim nations, the 5 Muslim nations surrounding them. They whipped them in 6 days and rested on the 7th. I'm sorry. Because God, y'all, we serve a mighty God. We don't have to whip around like we got nothing. We aren't beggars. We aren't paupers. We serve a mighty God. And that's why we got to be willing and ready to tell other people. Because God says, I don't want anybody to perish. And we shouldn't want anybody to perish. We got to get the gospel out. I'm so grateful to God for bearing precious seed ministry. It's such a mighty work of God. It's a joy to be part of it, saints. If we can just do some more. He says, give God the glory. Peter said, in verse 12,
Why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son, Jesus. When you're talking to folks about Jesus, when you're talking to folks about God, because it's not just any God, because the Bible tells you there's God's many, there's Lord's many. Isn't that what the Bible tells you? So Peter had to differentiate. He had to stipulate, if you will, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. And this is his son, his only begotten son that I'm telling you about, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. After you give God the glory, one last thing as I close. After you give God the glory, make sure when you've done all this talking with folks, make sure you don't let the conversation degenerate into, as Brother Watts would say, how about them Cowboys? Hey, yeah, like that's important. Yeah, how about them Cowboys? No, you take the conversation straight to the cross. You ask the Lord to get that conversation somewhere straight to the cross. And you ask him to get that conversation there quickly, because the difference between the truth of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and every cult on the face of the planet is the work of the cross. If you want to save yourself an awful lot of arguing, save yourself a lot of going down a bunch of rabbit trails, go to the cross and ask them, why the cross? Because Paul says, if Jesus did not die and was not raised from the dead, we would all still be lost in our sins. That's how important the cross is. Other things are nice talking points, but you know what? Go to the cross. Well, I'm a good person. I'm this, I'm that. I give to the poor. What about the cross? If all it takes is for you to be a nice guy, if all it takes is for you to give your money to the poor, why the cross? When Jesus said three times, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, I've obeyed you all the way. If there's any other way, I'll take it. And the Bible says that it came down to not my will, but your will be done. Going to the cross. And it said that he faced that cross. And here, one little point here where Jesus is, where Peter is saying, he's telling the Jews how they crucified the King of Glory, how they crucified the Son of Life, the Prince of Life. There's always this thing in certain denominations and certain churches where people want to point at the Jews and say, well, look, they killed Jesus. They killed Jesus. And so that gives us an easy target for anti-Semitism, when God has clearly said, if you bless the Jew, I'll bless you. Okay. But they killed Jesus. Well, I want you to read the whole scriptures, see. And I want you to understand, the Jews did not have the power at this time to execute anybody. They were under Roman rule. And you know that scripture that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? He says, they were under Roman rule. Yes, the Jews tried him. Yes, the Jews requested him being killed. But the Gentiles, the Romans, if you will, they carried out the execution. So who killed Jesus? The Bible tells us that the Jews and the Gentiles collaborated to execute and destroy Jesus. He says, even when God said to the people out there, the people who had just a few weeks before saying, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. We love you, Jesus. That's why I don't get bent out of shape being a pastor. Oh, we love you. Get rid of him. Because Jesus, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then what, just a couple weeks later? Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Even though the Jews wanted to do him in,
even though the Romans wanted to do him in. I want you to know that according to Scripture. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 10, verse 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 18. The Jews wanted to do him in. The Romans wanted to do him in. But see, what they didn't, what none of them knew was that God had a plan. God had a plan. And it reads, John chapter 10, verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down of myself. I have power to lay it down. And I got power to take it again. Oh, have mercy, y'all. Jesus said, y'all thought y'all was doing that. Y'all want, it wasn't that you didn't want to do it. It says that you don't have the power to do it. He says, but let me convince you with that statement that Jesus says he's got all power of heaven and earth. Brothers and sisters, I want you to be strong witnesses. I want you to go out, start in your home. I want you to change lives in your home. So start with yourself. Let God change you. Move it out into the rest of your family. Tell your neighborhood daily, daily tell somebody about Jesus and let them know that our Savior lives. Our Savior has the power not only to lay down his own life and take it up, but he's got the power to take up your life as well. He says, all you have to do to receive that free gift is believe on the name of Jesus. He said, if you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Let's be strong witnesses for Christ. God bless you. God keep you.